soul. And he was a cruel king and a bad king. But the worst thing of all was that he didn't do what God said to do to make him a good king. So God said to Samuel, his prophet, to go and tell Saul that soon the Lord was going to take away being king from him. And instead, he was going to find somebody, and these are the words, after his own heart. Now we know that God is love, God is holy and other things. But heart usually makes us think of love. And God said, the next king is going to be somebody who responds to my love. Somebody who loves me and will do what I say to do. And so that he will be a good leader and he'll be very happy. He didn't tell Samuel who it was going to be. We now know it was David. And at this time, David was only probably 14. I've tried to work out the dates, and that's probably what it works out at. He had 7 older brothers. And the oldest had a furious temper. And he'd always try to belittle David. Always try to say, oh, what you do is not important. You're nobody really. You don't count. Wasn't very nice. And there were 7 brothers older than himself. And he was number 8 and also the last. And his father owned sheep. And though they had a servant, he used to send his sons out to look after the sheep. So let's say when he was 14, number 1 son went to look after the sheep. And he would do it for 2 years till number 2 son got to be about 14. Then he would go and look after the sheep. And so it happened to number 3 son, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7. But of course, when he came to number 8, there wasn't a number 9. So he didn't only do it when he was 14, he did it when he was 15, he did it when he was 16, he did it when he was 17, did it when he was 18, he did it when he was 19. And they sort of kept him as the baby of the family. But all the time, the Lord was working on his feelings and on his affections. As he was there with his sheep, he noticed at night the stars, and he thought a lot about who made them. Obviously someone more wonderful than he couldn't have made a star, or all the numbers of them, or the hundreds of them that he could see in that eastern sky. He couldn't have done that. And by day there was the sun and the grasses and the rivers and the streams. And his heart was drawn out to love the Lord who'd made these things and made him. Oh, and then he had his sheep. And he didn't tell a soul of some of the things that had happened until a long while after. And one of the things that happened was while he was guarding the sheep, a lion came. And a lion came and grabbed one of the lambs. And what he'd bravely done, I don't know how he did it, whether he got his catapult, we know he had a catapult and could shoot it well, maybe he got the lion on the nose, maybe he got him in the eye. But somehow, he got the lion to drop the lamb alive. And then the lion turned round and faced David. By this time, maybe he was 16, maybe he was 17. A bit stronger. He knew the Bible story, probably, that in the days of the judges, 100 years or so before, there was a very strong man called Samson, and he'd ripped a lion in two with the help of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he knew that. And maybe he'd learned to be so close to the Lord that he always knew that he could call upon his help in an emergency as well as ordinary situations. But the lion turned and came for him. We know what that's like, not lions, but very elephants come and face you and they look a bit big when they get close. Lion. And he tells us afterwards that he got him by the mane. Can you imagine, mouth to mouth, held him by the mane and killed him. Maybe he just did like Samson did, tore him apart with extra strength that the Holy Spirit had given him. Maybe he used his stick, we don't know. But there was another occasion over all the years he did the job, and this time it wasn't a lion, it was a bear. Not a polar bear, might have been a black bear, might have been a brown bear. But they're formidable. They say about a bear that you never know what it's thinking. It looks quite cuddly and nice, but he strangled this bear to save the sheep. And God gave him the energy and the power to do that. And then he began to think. In a few minutes I'm going to read some bits of the Bible with you about the story I'm telling you. But he began to think, if I'm a shepherd and I care for my sheep, especially the lambs and the vulnerable one, I think that's the way God cares for me. And as he began to think about it, one of the psalms that we know very well from David began to form in his mind. The Lord is my shepherd. Wonderful. If David was a good shepherd to the sheep, I would even kill all the enemies that came and tried and got them. If I had the Lord, the great God who created the world, to be my shepherd. But David thought, yeah, that's right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll never go without. Well, of course not. I never let my flock go without. I lead them by the still waters. I lead them to the green grass. And that's what the Lord will do with me. He'll take care of me. He'll watch over me. He'll keep me. He'll provide all the things I need. The Lord is my shepherd. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The sheep didn't have to worry about the lion. The sheep didn't have to worry about the danger from bears. And though I'm only 17 and I'm a tiddler in this great big vast world with millions of people, I don't have to worry about any danger if the Lord's my shepherd. And so he began to write some of the things from his experience. And so the Lord was preparing him to be king. Because he then learned from looking after animals to care for people. Not like his brothers treated him, but that he would learn to look after the vulnerable and the people who needed special attention. Make sure they all got fed. Make sure they all had what they needed. That was preparing him to be a good king who would rule well. He didn't know it at the time. He didn't even know he was going to be a king. And then the day came, and God said to Samuel, didn't mention David, but he said, go to the house of Jesse, who was David's dad. Go to the house of Jesse and call all his family, his sons, to come together, and I'm going to make one of them king over the nation. So Samuel went. And when he got there, seven sons were gathered there before him. And he looked at the oldest was presented to him, probably bowed to Samuel, the old great prophet. And Samuel looked up at him and he saw how tall he was, how handsome he was, how he'd been out in the open air, how strong he was. Oh, he'd make a good king. God said to him, not him. I know what goes on in his heart. I know how he gets on to his little brother. I know how he gets angry quickly. No, never do to be king. So Sam, we move to the next one. He moved to the third one. Not him. And the fourth one. Not him. Fifth one. Sixth one. And Samuel was beginning to get a bit perplexed. It would have to be the seventh one. But the Lord said, no, not the seventh. Now, Samuel was quick-witted. He wouldn't have been a prophet if he wasn't. And it suddenly dawned on me. They weren't all there. And here's something I always like to think about David. David didn't count when he was young. Nobody bothered about David. He just didn't count. They wouldn't have thought when they were gathering the boys together. He was that bit younger. I didn't think when they were getting together that they'd bother to tell him, ask him to come. Didn't even count. He didn't matter. But Samuel said, is there another? Oh, yeah, David, he's out there with the sheep. You know, don't worry about him, he's young. Get him, said Samuel. And they all waited. When he came in, he too, like the first one, had a red face and was quite brown because he'd been out in the sun. And he was fit and strong. But that wasn't what worried the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, anoint him. It's not how he looks that counts. It's his heart. Things that go on in his heart. What he thinks about me. What he thinks about people. What he thinks about the animals he cares for. That's what matters to me. That's what I see. And that's why I've chosen him. Samuel poured oil over him. And he wasn't going to be king for a long time. I reckon, doing my maths, which I'm not very good at, that he was 20 by then. And we do know from the Bible that he was made king at 30. He knew he was going to be king for 10 years before it happened. But David says, you see, in that psalm, I trusted the Lord from my youth. Good time to trust the Lord. The Lord got a hold of him. The Lord looks on the heart and desires to give us a new heart. None of us are born with a heart that wants to love him or serve him or do anything for him. We're all interested in other things unless the Lord begins to change us. And if you're aware that you begin to have a love for the Lord Jesus, a love for the Saviour, a love for God, it couldn't happen by nature unless God was doing something in your life. And I would beg you to follow that up, not to dismiss the thought. You've a lifetime ahead of you. I was converted when I was 16, and one of the things that I've loved is that it was young enough for me to be able to ask the Lord what he wanted me to do and to serve him before I'd spent half my life or three quarters of my life. And it's given me a whole lifetime, and of course I've been in the ministry now for 59 years, and I'm glad of that. You've got a chance while you're young. David said, I've trusted you from my youth. And the other thing he said was that you've taught me from my youth. He was teachable. He wanted to learn about God's ways, which are in the Bible, of course, from his youth. Well, in a minute, I'm going to go on to the next bit of the story. But I want you to just look up with me, actually, from the Bible, some of the things that I've said. So, can you find the first book of Samuel? Appears at the top there as 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and chapter 13. 1 Samuel, chapter 13. And it's in verse 14 that you'll find that phrase. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. Samuel now is delivering the message from God to Saul. Now thy kingdom shall not continue. But these are the words I wanted you to notice. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. He was only a boy at the time. He wasn't ready to start. But the Lord began his preparations in the heart while he was still quite young. Okay. And then do you remember I said that when he'd killed the lion and the bear, maybe that was the time he began to think that the Lord would be his shepherd. Can you find Psalm 23? I'll try and read that to you so that you can understand it quickly. It's a very important psalm. Psalm 23, you'll see that it says it is a psalm of David. Psalm 23. Right. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Now you see, he believed that, but it's down there in the Bible for us to be able to say, whenever we read it, yeah, that's good. That's super. Dear Lord, I love you to be my shepherd. I want you to look after me. I shan't be afraid of anything life throws at me if you're my shepherd. One little boy with God with him is stronger than all the men put together. Isn't this right? No. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I shan't be short. Shan't go without. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So he won't starve and there won't be a famine. And then he restoreth my soul. How does the soul get damaged? When it gets frightened, when it gets panicked. He restoreth my soul. Makes me come to myself again. He makes me recover from the things that scare me and frighten me and hurt me and terrorize me. Always very impressed. You see, got all these children in primary school and secondary school. And very few of them know how to handle the things they think inside. They're terrified sometimes of things that are happening to them. Things they think, things that go on. And whether it's bullying or whatever it is, hundreds and thousands of thoughts go through children's minds. And unless they've got a saviour to turn to help them, they're just going to get beaten up inside by Satan. But God restores the soul of those who ask. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, yes, even last ditch scenario, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it may be I'm dying, or it may be there are wild, dangerous animals like there were with the sheep. I'll fear no evil. I'm not afraid of anything. Why? Because you're with me. Because God is with me. Now, we use in the Baptist churches the expression to know a personal saviour, by which we mean actually to know God ourselves as the one who personally takes care of us and looks after us. And it's a massive thing. I can't tell you the difference it makes. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because if we sin or aren't interested in God, then he'll leave us to our own devices and let us to get on with it. Hopefully only for a short time. It would be terrible if he left us forever. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Perhaps he poked the lion with the rod. Perhaps he put it in his eye. But God can manage anything and control everything. And the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He'd learned what a wonderful thing it was while he was young to have God with him, and he wanted it always. And that's what we're thinking about today. When you're young, when you get a bit older, and when you get to old age. But you want his goodness all the days of your life. Now, go back to 1 Samuel. Missing you about, aren't I? 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We'll read what he says about the event. Now, he didn't tell about the event with the lion and the bear till he wanted permission to go for Goliath. And he had to ask the king, and he explained to him about what had happened with the bear and the lion. But he hadn't told anybody. He kept it to himself. He didn't brag about it. He didn't even tell his mum's father, and certainly not his brothers. So, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 32. He's going to ask the king permission. And David said to Saul, he's the man who's not going to be king for too much longer, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, he was huge. He was 9 or 10 foot tall, massive, had all his armour on. And what was happening was, there wasn't really a battle. The Israelites were one side, the Philistines were another. And this man got up every day and stood out in the middle and said, if one of you will come and fight me, that will do. If I win, the whole of battle's won. If you win, the whole battle's won. Because he knew he would win. He was bigger and stronger than everybody put together. Everybody was terrified, and he had this loud, loud voice. So David, aged 20, says to the king, who ought to have been the brave one, let no man's heart fail because of him. So we're at verse 32. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go and fight against this Philistine, to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, that's his mane, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Wow, that's close, isn't it? Got his paws on him. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, off you go then and do it. So he was brave. Now, I'll just show you in the previous chapter, I think it's the previous chapter anyway, in the same chapter, just how nasty his older brother was. Verse 28, 1 Samuel 17. And Eliab, his oldest brother, 1 Samuel 17:28, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down hither? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thy heart. You're a naughty boy. 20, mind you. For thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. What battle? But he wasn't very nice. He was just taking every opportunity not to be nice to him. Okay. So, from his youth, David set his heart to love God. The next stage was the transition between youth and becoming a man. And he was announced on the world stage. Now, those of you who watched the Football World Cup will know that there are certain players, I'm thinking of Mbappe in particular, who, though they're still only young, announced themselves on the world stage. They didn't just play for a local club. They turned out for their country in the top competition in the world at that age and showed to the world that they're the best at football. So we're now looking at how it was that David became known, how it became accepted by the people that he would be a good king when God chose to give him the throne and make the time right. And it all happened. And I'm going to read to you this bit from the Bible because it's so exciting. And I suggest that you follow me while I read it. We're back in 1 Samuel 17. And what happened was when Saul said go, was that he put on the armour that Saul gave him. And you can just imagine, can't you? He's about so high. And this is size 25 or something. Massive great helmet. Massive things. He could hardly move. And he said, that's no good. I can't use that armour. Saul had no idea how he could go and fight Goliath with all his armour on without that armour. But David said, that's no good. So we're now at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. And David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in the scrip. That's a sort of purse. And his sling was in his hand, his catapult, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that carried his shield walked before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Furious. That thou comest to me with sticks, staves. And the Philistine cursed, swore at David, by his gods. Get the viciousness, get hold of it. Vicious. Big, powerful, huge, and there's David going towards him. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Nice thought. Then said David to the Philistine, not a bit worried, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee, and he's getting up speed and he's beginning to run, and he shoots at him at high speed when he does, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly, all the people watching, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slay it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And all the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and chased after the Philistines. And so it went on. But everybody knew that this was a brave young man. Everybody knew that he'd done what Saul should have done, and therefore was worthy to be king. And when the time came that the Lord would make him king, they would all recognize it and approve. What I want you to notice at this part is, it was the Lord He didn't think, I'm brilliant with the catapult. He didn't think, I'm brilliant against a man of that size. He just said, the Lord, my shepherd, will help me. The Lord will enable me. I mean, he obviously practiced with his sling time and time again, but he might just have missed on that occasion. On the one occasion when he needed to be spot on, he got it. That's with the Lord's help. So the second thing is, as you move out of being young into the work you're going to do through life, it's the Lord's help you want. You might be learning subjects at university or college, you might be having an apprenticeship, you might be doing things in the home and learning this, that and the other, but always you want the Lord's help. Always. Never just yourself. Well, David had a long career. And I want you now to turn with me to 1 Samuel 22. And for 10 years, David was chased by Saul. Saul now knew not only that he was going to be king in his place, but that everybody wanted him to be king in his place. So he got his loyal army together and chased David everywhere. And I want you now to begin to see, as he became a man, his skills of leadership. He learned how to manage a flock. Now come his skills of leadership. 1 Samuel 22, he's a man now, but he's on the run. But he's not on the run by himself. He's got 400 people with him. And his family and children. Now, can you think of what that means? He's being chased. He'll spend a night in a cave, like you've spent a night here. Then they'll be up next morning and got to make sure that the Saul doesn't see him. They go around one side of the mountain and they watch what side Saul will go with his army, but they go around the other. And when they're there at night, the children have got to keep their quiet. And he trains them all. And in verse 2, 1 Samuel 22, we read this. Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves to him. Can you just imagine? All the tramps of the kingdom come to him. All the people who've got bad tempers, all the people who are miserable, all the people who earn money and have been cheated, all the people who've got a gripe about this, that and the other. And he gets them organised. So they become his army, who are always going to be devoted to him all the rest of his life. 400 men being chased around the countryside. He's got to provide them with food. He's got to provide them with water. He's got to find that they have supplies. He's got to make friends everywhere. He's got to send out some of them to be spies. Make sure. But he's absolutely brilliant at this stage of his life because the Lord helps him. And he says afterwards, we haven't got time to look it up, it was your gentleness that made me great. How else do you think he dealt with discontented men? Men who were distressed and troubled and tired. It was only because he was gentle with them. There's lots of other things happened in his lifetime. Not all of them brilliant, but most of them brilliant. I want to move now to the end of his life. To 2 Samuel, that's the next book in the Bible, chapter 23. He's old and grey-headed by this time. He became king at the age of 30, and he was king for 40 years. So we're now moving to David, age 70-ish. No longer a young man, no longer announcing on the stage of the world. All the chapters we've missed out, about 12, 20 of them, all about David as a man. Never mind that for now. You can look at that some other time. And now he's got to old age, old and grey-headed. And I want you to look at 2 Samuel 23, and it's from verse 2. So this is what we're told, that these were almost the last words of David. It says they were his last words, except that there's another chapter or so after this. So, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. So he's talking about ruling. We thought of you this morning because it rained at breakfast time. And then do you remember the clouds or winds and it became absolutely blue, blue sky? There are even better days sometimes when it's blue right from the beginning. Perhaps a bit of dew at night and then it's just blue. But the rain or the dew smells absolutely wonderful. And then you get this beautiful, beautiful, sunny, blue day. And you think, yes, we'll go swimming. Yes, we'll do this. We'll go and enjoy doing that. We'll have fun. Be a lovely day. Holiday. Right, says David. That's exactly what happens to a nation if it's got a good ruler. They're all excited. They will say, everything happens is fair. Everything is just. We all get what we need. We're all provided for. And there's somebody to hear our complaints. Yeah, the nation is going places. It's wonderful. Because we've got fair and good rulers. And that was what David was thinking about. He's soon going to die. He's soon going to go to heaven. And he's thinking, yes, heaven. Wonderful. No more pain, no more trouble, no more anything like that. Just like when it's rained and now the blue sky is coming up. It's going to be wonderful from now on. That's his thinking. Tremendous picture. Because we all know what it's like to have a nice blue day with a nice smell of rain that's not going to come back. And then in verse 5, and so I'm finishing with this. You've listened very well. Although my house be not so with God. Now, he did sin at one point in his life, and he always had trouble in his family after that. But God said he forgave him. It's good to remember that even if we do those things that spoil our lives, there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. Now, verse 5. Though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. So I'm an old man, and the Lord has promised eternal life to those who believe in him. And believe me, the older you get, the more you're very glad that there's such a thing as eternal life. But you wouldn't want eternal life if you were full of pain. Not if it stayed like that. There has to be a change. You'd want to feel fit for heaven and everything. He says, God has ordered something. He's arranged it. And it's sure, it's certain. And that is that to all who trust him, there is eternal life. Now, I've tried to show you two things, really. One is that the Lord looks on the heart at all times, and he gives a new heart, a new way of thinking to those who love him and turn to him. And what may begin when you're young, none of you put your hands up at one of the things that came up, that was from the womb. When he got a bit older, at least I didn't see anybody, when he got a bit older, he thought, I know that even from before I realised it, God had laid his hand on me, began to change my heart, even from when I was born. But from the youngest years, trust the Lord, and it won't change when you come to do your job in the world and spend 40 years of your life doing the main job. And then when you come to the end of life, still the same. Same Saviour, same God, same trust. And I would beg of you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to take away our sin, to give us a new heart. Really, that's the good news that churches preach, and that's what I would have you all believe and understand. Thank you. Now we're going to sing the hymn, which actually takes up that last verse, which I read.